You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
We're going to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In the competitive world of online status mongering, courage involves little more than clicking like or earning a mention in a post that could risk losing a follower or two. Real courage is, of course, something else entirely. It's about doing the right thing when there are real costs at stake. It's taking an unpopular stand, even a dangerous one, when sitting back and doing nothing would be far easier. During the darkest days of communist tyranny in Europe, governments would spout their dangerous nonsense, and citizens were expected, often by intimidation, to act as though their folly were true. To refuse meant to be socially ostracized and police supervised, not to mention facing the loss of opportunity and freedom and the compromise of personal safety. So most citizens ducked their heads and did what they had to survive. Others, however, made a difficult choice, the choice to stand up. Their courage did not always entail taking up arms or taking to the streets, but in a world where dissent was costly, to simply refuse to go along. Among those who showed that kind of courage was the Mendova family of Czechoslovakia, a family that's featured in the book Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher. As Dreher wrote, quote, "She was a dissident. She kept the family together when the communists put her husband in prison. When Vaclav was tempted by an offer to accept exile in exchange for liberty, she bucked him up, told him that the things they were fighting for were worth suffering for, too." Journalist Terry Mattingly put it this way, quote, "It didn't matter if the communists had imprisoned her husband. The late Vaclav Benda, a leading Czech dissident and Catholic intellectual. It didn't matter that state officials had bugged their flat near the medieval heart of the city. And it didn't matter if a friend showed up after being tortured at the secret police facility just a block away." End quote. They were faithful through years of pressure, threats, and fears, and Kamila Bendova showed her children, local students, and fellow citizens throughout that resistance is not futile. Her life is a lesson to us in this cultural moment. Though what we face is less openly dangerous, it's still confusing and consequential. Mattingly put it this way, quote, "Traditional families now face threats that are harder to identify than those of the communist era," says Kamila Bendova. Warning children about the secret police is one thing. In a way, it may be harder for today's parents to convince their children to be truly countercultural in an age of social media narcissism, gender confusion, online pornography, and credit card materialism, end quote. Though we do not face the exact tactics of Marxist regimes, we do face the expansive power of a de facto social credit system, where holding to the wrong opinion certainly comes with a social cost. In Britain, railing against Jewish people and the whole of Western civilization is completely acceptable, even encouraged, but silently praying outside an abortion clinic can bring a visit from the police. So for the Christian, now is the time for courage, the kind of courage that refuses to go along with dominant paradigms when it would be easier to just be quiet. The Mendova family knew that their children would require tools if they were to think critically and carefully about the world that they lived in. Our children will too, especially in this age of expressive individualism and ever-loud propaganda. So we can learn from Kamila Bendova what this kind of intentional parenting entails. How Christians can have a courageous faith is the full focus of the 2024 Colson Center National Conference. It'll be held May 30th to June the 2nd in Arlington, Texas. And joining Kamila Bendova and Rod Dreher will be Dr. Albert Moeller, Father Calvin Robinson, Dr. Sean McDowell, Dr. Kathy Cook, author Neil Shinvey, and more. Only a few hundred spaces remain, so register by going to ColsonConference.org. That's ColsonConference.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. For more resources to live like a Christian, go to Breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We please God by not doing this. And we please God by doing this. That's old covenant talk. The new covenant is not written on stone, it's written on your heart and my heart. And when Christ comes in your life and my life, he makes us brand new inside out. And therefore we don't do certain things and we do certain things, not by some legalistic regimen, but because that's who we are. We are a new person.
The truth is, choosing to follow Jesus is just the beginning of the adventure. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young continues a sermon called Real, Radical, and Authentic, where he explains the amazing truth about what God does after you become a Christian. So stay with us. Proven truth about the power of faith is coming up on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant some friends of The Winning Walk have offered to help more people walk with Christ in the year ahead. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out the year on the strongest possible footing, ready to share more proven truth with people far and wide in the coming year. So please call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that the impact of your gift today will go even further to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping proclaim the gospel to more people in 2024. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now, you can also follow your favorite program on X, formerly known as Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Real, Radical, and Authentic.
But we need a bit of theology here. I think you can get it in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. Listen, verse number 7. But if the ministry of death in letter is letters engraved on stones came from glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because the glory of his face fading as it was. Then flip over, if you would, the same third chapter of 2 Corinthians. By the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12 through 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 13 is a way you can see whether someone is real or phony, someone who is genuine or someone who is artificial in their faith. That's the theology. You could just read that and say, you know, this is where I fit in. I'm fleshly. No, this is where I fit in. I am spiritually. You see that there. And it's talked about here in forms of the old covenant and the new covenant. This is the old covenant, which is the face of Moses. But to this day, wherever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. For whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, there's our word, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Then look over in chapter 4. We see the new covenant. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. See, we have the face of Moses, old covenant, the face of Jesus, the new covenant. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. What are we saying here? A little bit of theology. Some people are still under the old covenant. What was the old covenant? Moses went up on Mount Sinai 7 times, and he came down 7 times. Read it in Exodus. And finally he came down with the 10 commandments, those 2 stones. And there were the principles of living. This is what you do, and this is what you do not do. And therefore, when Moses came down with the commandments, with that old covenant, as we call it, the Bible says his face shone. Shekinah, glory. He'd been in the presence of God, his face shone. And the sinning Israelites who'd made that golden calf, they couldn't look on the glory of God shining in the face of Moses. So they said, Moses, put on a veil. So he veiled his face. Now also, you read a little farther, you see that time went by and the glory, the Shekinah of God faded on the face of Moses until his face no longer shone, but Moses still put on the veil where everybody would think he still had the glory on him. Yeah, you ever do something like that? Oh, I'm still walking with God. You can see the Shekinah in my life. But we really have veil face. Veil face. That's the old covenant. We please God by not doing this, and we please God by doing this. That's old covenant talk. And we're like Moses. We look at the face of Moses. Boy, when he's with it, there's a glow. When he's not with it, we cover it up. And a lot of churches really go by the name of Christian, but they're basically living and teaching on the basis of the old covenant. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And they got a whole string of legalistic stuff. And when you don't do and do enough, you'll be a Christian. Old covenant. Then there's a new covenant. That's the face of Jesus. The new covenant is not written on stone. It's written on your heart and my heart. And when Christ comes in your life and my life, he makes us brand new inside out. And therefore, we don't do certain things, and we do certain things, not by some legalistic regimen, but because that's who we are. We are a new person. We have a new agenda. We have a new heart. And the principles are written in our heart. And therefore, you begin to see some of those things we talked about in character. Remember? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-discipline. Remember that? You see, that just flows out. We don't have to, I'm going to produce some fruit. I got to work at this. No. Because we're under the new covenant. We have the form, now we have the power. So the new covenant, it is the face of Christ, is reflected in us. And before you know it, we begin to have some kind of glow. I can look at most people in just a second. I can almost sense, not by their words, that they're with Christ. You can just sort of, it's an affirmation of spirit, is it not? My dad's younger brother died, lived way back in the backside of Alabama, a little community called Cragford, Alabama. My dad really had no relationship with his family. And when his younger brother died, he was unable to go to the funeral. And I just decided to go. No one knew I went, as far as I knew, except Joe Beth and my family. And I got in a car. I drove way back in the backside of Alabama. And I didn't know a single person in my dad's family. He was one of 11. So you can imagine a whole clan gathered there. All the young family, all of them gathered. But they didn't know me. I didn't know them. They didn't know I was coming. And I just drove up in front of that rural home, and I walked up those steps. The first person I saw looked at me and says, "You're Homer's boy." That's my dad's name. And everywhere I went, I know you must be Homer's boy. How did they know? How could they tell? I didn't understand it, but something about me reminded them of my father, my dad. Your homeward. That's what happens to us in the new covenant. As we begin to walk and grow with him, we realize that's the son of the king. That's the son of the king. And that's what happened in the scripture. Because now, in England, what happened? The second in command. They always have a spare in royalty. You know, one of a backup. Oh, well, that's who George was. And when Edward abdicated the throne, there was George who came. King George the Sixth. He was Prince Albert. George the Sixth. He'd been in the Navy. He had a speech impediment. Limited, but he stood and he represented England. And he was the one who declared war on Germany in 1939. And he supplied Churchill with sort of the overall backing of the empire at a strategic moment in history, which he said, "Might does not make right." And that was the basis upon which they continued to declare war and throw back the Nazis. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, might does not make right today. And if we don't realize that internationally, we are going to pay for it in ways that would shatter our wildest imagination. But there was the new king. He had the title, and he followed the responsibility that was placed upon him in a strategic time in history. So we look here and we understand the old covenant, the new covenant. Let's break this down. A glowworm glows, and puts out a little light that comes from within, and that light is there to protect the glowworm from predators, from enemies. That's why the light is there. It's a light, and there's a poison that accompanies it, and it keeps the enemies away from the glowworm. But that glowworm, you may not know it, becomes a firefly. We call them, what, lightning bugs, right? And that firefly came the glowworm, also has a illumination within, but that illumination is not to protect, that illumination is to attract. Attract other fireflies for mating. Attract other things, other insects that they would eat to stay alive. And the longer the firefly lives, the bigger it gets and the brighter the light comes. The old covenant is, excuse the analogy, a glowworm that is there for protection. Don't do these things. Do these things. It has a glow light. But now when the new covenant comes in Jesus Christ, now it's not the face of Moses that is veiled. Now it's the face of Jesus that is unveiled. And there is a light there that attracts and gets brighter and brighter. The old, the new. Or put it another way. You buy an automobile. Most got everything on it. Oh, beautiful car. My goodness, just a fabulous car that you've bought. And so you get through, you pay for it, and you push it out of the showroom, out in the street, and you push the car all the way home. And you push and you push and you push, and boy, little hill, it's really hard to get it up, but you get it up. Finally, you get there, you call your wife out, your kids, look at our car, boy, they love it. Get in, we're going for a ride. And you get in and you start pushing. Your wife is driving. Whew. You stop and let her get out and help and let one of the kids, but we love our new car. And then some people have the idea of living the Christian life is like that, you know? You go to churches like that. Man, how do you get through life? Well, I'm under the old covenant. They don't tell you that. That's what they. Well, you got to try harder, work more, and come on Monday night to church, and we're going to teach you how to push your life with your left shoulder. We're going to give you a left. Okay, we work. Okay, I've got it. I'm pushing. And Tuesday night you go, you push the car with your right shoulder. Okay, we're pushing with our. And then Wednesday night they teach you how to push it with both hands and your shoulder. Boy, it's easier. You're getting stronger. You're figuring this thing out. And Thursday night, they say, look, put your legs and your feet in it. You can really push that car. That's the old covenant. Try harder, do more, give more, work harder. That's the way you really grow as a Christian. You push and push. And on Friday night, they say, put it all together, and you're going to have a super life, a super car. You'll all be pushing. That's how a lot of churches think, folks. You know it. But that's old covenant. That's Moses with a veiled face. The new covenant, we unveil our face. We can look into the glory of God and receive the reflection of that glory in a mirror, Paul tells us. And we go back and the dealer says, look under the hood what you've got there. That piece of steel, that piece of iron there with all the gadgets to it, that's called a motor. And that's Christ in you and Christ in me. Then he says, look back here. You put gasoline in it. Oh! And how easy it is to move and flow. And that gasoline is the Holy Spirit. When I got up this morning, I said, fill me with thy Spirit. I can't do it. I surrender to the leadership of the Spirit. That is the power that gives. That's new covenant living, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a new kind of light. The old covenant, it's dark. Moses came and lit a candle. Well, a candle is good in the darkness, isn't it? That was the old covenant. It has some merit. It diagnoses our sin. But now in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ came, the sun came up. What are you going to do with a candle when the sun is shining brightly? Would you tell me? You don't need a candle anymore. That's the new covenant. That's grace. That's faith in Jesus Christ. So a little bit of theology. Then a whole lot of practicality. How does this growing in Christ, how do we become real instead of being artificial? Well, what is it all about? How does it function? How does it operate? First of all, we see something about a growing Christian, a maturing Christian. A maturing Christian does not happen automatically. Doesn't just pop up, I'm a maturing Christian. Doesn't happen that way. People think it does. It doesn't. It takes effort. A maturing Christian doesn't just, somebody says, well, I'm just going to try harder. But it does take effort to become a maturing Christian. And to be a mature Christian is certainly not impossible. It's not impossible. A maturing Christian does take effort. It does take effort. And let me show you the kind of effort that it takes. Look, if you would, in the book of Colossians. Just move over. It's not Galatians that somebody, a kid. It's Colossians, chapter number 3. Look what it says. It says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead, the immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. In other words, if we're going to grow up, we have to put some things to death. What do you have to put to death? Anything here fit you? Immorality, got to put that to death. Need to kill that. God will help you kill it. Impurity, put that to death. Passion, put that to death. Evil desire, put that to death. Greed, put that to death. There's some things we have to put to grief if we're going to mature in Christ. Make no mistake about it. And so there's some things we have to put aside. In other words, we put it out of reach. And in them you also once walked, and you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. What are these things we put out of our reach? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you were laid aside, the old self with its practice, and you have to put on a new self to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him. So some things, if you're going to grow, you have to kill. Some things you have to put aside. And some things you have to put on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we grow up, ladies and gentlemen. So growth is not automatic. No. But growth has to take place. In God's understanding, if you are a Christian, by definition, you have to grow up. I love the story of Alexander the Great was at battle. Boy, the fighting was ferocious. And he sees one of his soldiers running and running the opposite direction. Alexander rides him down, slaps him down with his sword. The young soldier falls down. He says, young man, what's your name? He said, Alexander. He said, change your name or change your direction. You can't have my name and be a coward. What's your name? I'm a Christian. He said, God would say, change your name or change your direction. Change your name or change your direction. That is reality of who we are. That's identifying with who we are. So we have to realize this doesn't happen just automatically. It happens with intentionality when we grow up. We have to kill and put on and put off. And also we have to understand that being mature is something that you and I can do. We can do it. It's not impossible. It can happen. But we have to make a decision that I'm tired of pablum. I'm tired of pacifiers. I'm tired of what I am and what I represent, and I want to move on to some steak and nourishing stuff, and I want to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a decision. It's a decision. And I hope there are a lot of people here who will make that very decision today.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. As we finish out today's program, Dr. Young is in the studio to answer a couple of questions stemming from today's message. Dr. Young, let me ask you, suppose we have a friend who has a shallow faith. Is there anything we can do to encourage them to grow in maturity?
Well, if they're shallow in their faith, they need to go to a Bible-believing church. And where the Bible is taught, where the Bible is proclaimed, people that hang around that kind of truth, they'll begin to see their life isn't working the right way that it is. And also, you might pray with them. Say, let us pray together. In the prayer, just ask God to forgive you when you've been lax, when you've been indifferent. Forgive you for hypocrisies in your own life. And maybe they'll begin to say, you know, that's a prayer I need to pray. There's some changes I need to make. So first of all, may they see in you the genuineness of Christ, not that you're perfect, and then may you encourage them to be in a Bible-teaching church, not just go to church. It has to be a church where God's Word is believed and God's Word is taught. That's where the fire is. That's where the evangelism is. And that's where the social ministry is. So I think let them understand through your life and your witness as you take, as you invite, as you pray for them. I'll tell you, most of those that walk this path, they too catch fire for Christ.
That is really helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you and helped you grow in your walk with Jesus. Before we let you go, we want to remind you about the exciting $75,000 year-end challenge grant that's been released to encourage you to help The Winning Walk finish 2023 on a strong footing. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can continue to help more people walk closer with Christ in the year ahead. So please call now to give, knowing your support will go twice as far when combined with a $75,000 challenge grant to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. More proven truth about how to have a radical and authentic faith is coming up tomorrow, so tune in then.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255-9255. 350-350-9255.
Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando reminds listeners that when properly maintained, the life expectancy for commercial and residential HVAC systems is 15 to 20 years. Without regular maintenance, that number can drop. If you're considering the DIY route to repair your unit, it could be very costly in the long run. That's why it pays to call your local trusted heating and air specialist at Marshall Donor AC and Appliance. Call 407-415-4044 for Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM.
The big word that you must remove from your vocabulary is luck.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's impossible for luck to have any place in God's will for us.
Luck is a random chance
happening, not a divinely orchestrated intervention.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. You know the old saying about the best laid plans, they never quite work out the way we expect? Well, Dr. Evans says there's a reason why, and today he'll tell us what that is and how we can take a better approach to planning. Let's join him as he explains.
We've all watched our plans go awry, our expectations get dashed, our joys become gloom, and we've seen it the other way as well. So this thing called life, this up and down roller coaster of reality, can become quite daunting, confusing, simultaneously joyful and painful. James has a word for us today about life and about planning it. He begins in verse 13 by saying, come now. Come now. Now, he's getting ready to make a negative statement because he's going to end by talking about your arrogance and pride. He starts off by saying, come now. Let me put it in more colloquial language. Come on now. Are you serious? You got to be kidding me. Come now. For real? That's the Tabasco he's got on that phrase. He says, come on now, come now. You who say, because you're not just thinking it, you're talking it. You who say, and look at what they're saying about their life's plan. They start off with their schedule. Today or tomorrow. They go to their location, such and such a city. They give their timeline. We're going to spend a year. They give their purpose. We're going to do some business. And they give their expected result. We're going to make a profit. That's our plan. We've got a plan. We got a plan. We got a plan. We catch the plane tomorrow. I'm going to go to this city. Going to go there for a year. Going to cut my deals. Going to make a profit. I'm going to come home. Bam. I got it lined out. A lot of us have it lined out. We've lined out the schedule of our retirement funds. We've lined out the schedule of our growth in the company and the corporation. We've lined out our plan for raising the children. We've lined out our educational goals, what we're going to major in and what will be the degrees and what will be the results. And we have lined that thing out. James says, come on, man. Now, James is not saying anything negative about planning, but he's going to say a lot about fake planning and a fake culture. The Bible is not against planning. In fact, the Bible expects you to plan. We're told in Proverbs 16, verse 3 and verse 9, to commit your plan. Put up your plan. Lay out your plan. If you have no plan for your life, for your future, for your family, for your goals, you're falling short of a divine expectation. We're told to commit a plan. Nothing sinful about planning. Nothing negative about planning. That's having an organized goal for where you're going or where you hope to go. He says, nothing negative about planning. But what he does say is if you plan independently of God, you're a fool. He doesn't say don't plan. He says, but you better not plan and leave God out. There are two top truths that you need to know as a Christian. The number one thing you need to know is the gospel, the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for the free gift of eternal life that he freely gives to all who come and believe in him for it. The good news of the gospel is the first thing that you need to embrace. But the second thing, and the critical thing for the rest of your life, my life, our lives, is the sovereignty of God. That theological truth of the sovereignty of God simply means God rules. God is the ruler, controller, and sustainer of all things. Absolutely nothing happens in history unless he makes it happen or gives it permission to happen. There is nothing that sits outside of the rule of God. Providence is the miraculous and mysterious way in which he accomplishes his sovereign purpose. If you don't believe in sovereignty, then you won't see God calling audibles at the line of scrimmage. So when a quarterback comes up to the line of scrimmage, they've already called a plan play. They got a play. They got in the huddle and they gave a play that had been previously planned and put on the books. But when the quarterback comes and he sees a different alignment on the other side, even though he started with a plan of a play he was going to call, he audibilizes it at the line of scrimmage and on the spot changes it. In other words, he's doing something different on the spot than the plan called for. Providence is God audibilizing your life and causing people, places, things, and thoughts to happen that you weren't looking for. But if you stuck in your plan, then you may miss his providence. And you won't see him audibilizing things because it's if the Lord wills. Because he's inserting things, changing things, canceling things, reversing things. What he is saying is, you don't plan independently of God. And many of us miss the providence of God. No. All things work together for good, Romans 8:28, to them who love God and are called according to his purpose, which is ultimately, verse 29, to conform us to his image. But all things are working together to create something. You're baking a cake. You don't eat the nutmeg. You don't eat the butter. You don't eat the flour. You don't eat those independent things. You blend them. And when you blend them and integrate them and then heat them, now you have a cake because you've taken individual parts and you've so wetted them to produce something meaningful and tasteful. But if you don't know how to blend, then you don't get the net result of what you're looking for. God has a cosmic blender. He has a life blender. And he's able to take all the nuances of our life, good, bad, and ugly, and blend them so that we see the outworking if we love him. The problem is, if you don't love him, you may not see him blending you. So let me go over something I've went over with you. If you believe in sovereignty, he rules. And if you understand providence, that he mysteriously interconnects, links, allows or creates negatives, he brings about positives. If you believe that is the God to whom you belong, and you say, this is my plan, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be, this is what I want to do, if the Lord wills. I have now inserted the contingency. You know what that means for your life? That means there's no longer anything of chance, fate, coincidence, or happenstance. No such thing. The big word that you must remove from your vocabulary is luck. You cannot have a sovereign God who operates in providence and luck at the same time. You can't do that. because luck is a random chance happening, not a divinely orchestrated intervention. I know what we mean. We got lucky dog. We got wish me luck. We got plain luck. We got blind luck. We got bad luck. We got tough luck. We got lady luck. We got rotten luck. We got good luck. We got pot luck. We got luck. But you cannot have a sovereign God who operates providentially, he operates directly, but also providentially. That is why you must always keep your head on a spiritual swivel for divine surprises, the unexpected.
Dr. Evans will have examples for us on how God's providence took some biblical characters by surprise when he returns in just a moment. Stay with us.
No matter how quickly things change in the culture, one thing remains unchanged: God's faithfulness to stand with us through difficult times. To help you remember and celebrate that faithfulness, we want to send you the Best of Tony Evans 2023. 20 of his most popular broadcast messages from this past year. And right now, when you make a contribution to help continue this outreach, we'll say thanks by sending you the complete collection on CD and MP3s, along with a copy of Dr. Evans' brand new devotional, Transformed by the Trinity. In this, you'll discover the significance of each title used by the Bible for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and what those names can mean for you today. Be one of the first to get Transformed by the Trinity bundled with the Best of Tony Evans 2023. This is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org for details today. That's TonyEvans.org.
Remember, you'll get a total of 20 of Tony's most popular messages, focusing on living real in a fake culture, biblical ways to beat fear and discouragement, how to approach life from God's perspective, and much more. So get in touch with us today, make your generous year-end contribution, and let us send you the Best of Tony Evans 2023 and his new devotional book, Transformed by the Trinity. Make the arrangements at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by to help you day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message.
Joseph, he's thrown in a pit. He's sold into slavery. He finally gets a good job. He's accused of rape. He's thrown in jail. The king has a nightmare on Elm Street. He needs somebody to interpret his dream. Then they remember there's this guy in jail who's good at that. They call him up years later. He interprets the dream. He's made second in charge of the kingdom. And then he concludes the book of Genesis, chapter 50, with these words: you sold me into slavery. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Life is full of surprises, detours, disappointments. It is. I know mine, you know yours. These are not chance happenings. They're either caused or allowed by a sovereign God on a broad scale, the whole world, and on your scale, your life. So you're trying to block him. My trying to block him. This world is trying to block him. You're not stopping him. You're just changing which route he's going to use. See, that's why you and I can't think too highly of ourselves, because we are replaceable. God can work through somebody else. God can work through other situations. So you try to blocking him because you and I, we want to do our own thing our own way independently of God. You're not blocking him. You're just changing the providential route he uses, because he's going to arrive at his sovereign destination. He says what you ought to say is, if it's the Lord's will, because then you'll see Moses in a basket that's going down the Nile at the exact time that Pharaoh's daughter decides to take a bath. Was that a lucky time? The mother just luckily put him in the water at the perfect time. Saul got chosen as a king because he's chasing donkeys. We're told that the donkeys got out of his father's pen. He's chasing donkeys. He's getting tired of chasing donkeys. But over here, God told Samuel, Samuel, there's this guy chasing donkeys. I want you, when he runs into you, you make him king. How would he know that chasing donkeys would lead him to the throne? You never know how God's going to do something, when God's going to do something. So you got to keep your head on a swivel. You got to keep yourself, your eyes open spiritually. Or you'll miss it. You'll think it's chance, luck, bad day. He says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So he's talking about an arrogant attitude, because the one thing God hates is pride. So when you think because of the money you make, the position you have, the degrees you own, the place you live, the car you drive, the folks you know, if you think that makes you better, he says, I want you to know God views that as arrogant, and he knows how to bring you down. Because he says, therefore, to the one who knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. And he's talking about the boasting of living life independently of God, making plans without room for divine intervention. Talking about pride reminds me of the story of the frog. You remember the frog had to cross the pond, and the frog didn't want to get wet. He saw two birds. He found a stick. He said, I got a plan. You bird, take this end of the stick. You bird, take that end of the stick. I'm going to grab it with my mouth. And then I want y'all to fly across the pond. And that way you'll take me. I won't get wet. I won't have to deal with the pond. I won't have to worry about that. So if you'll go with the plan, then I'm going to get across the pond. The birds thought that was a great plan. That was a brilliant plan. That was an ingenious plan. One bird took one end of the stick. The other bird took the other end of the stick. The frog put its mouth in the middle. The birds went up and flew. And he's crossing the pond. What an awesome plan. A man was looking up at that and he said, boy, that's a great plan. I wonder who came up with that idea. The frog said, I did. He says, your mouth betrays you. He says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills. What you ought to do is bring the human disclaimer in because of the divine potential for interruption. Because now you're walking with God. Now we are including God. In the uncertainty of life, Psalm 39, verse 5 and verse 11. The people on the Titanic did not think on that maiden voyage that was their last trip. One of the leaders of the builders of the Titanic, when they got on their major voyage, said, even God can't sink this ship. They didn't even make it across the Atlantic the first time. And none of those people thought it was their last day. When I was growing up, whenever my father had us in the car, he wouldn't go anywhere without praying first. And we'd get in the car, and he would pray for journeying mercies. Journeying mercies. Not a bad idea when you get in that airplane to pray for journeying mercies. He was asking God to cover us as we drove. We weren't going that far, but his philosophy was, I want God in everything. You and I are not to plan independently of God. He calls that boastful arrogance, not the planning, but the planning that does not include him. And he calls it an evil, arrogant sin, because we're making more of ourselves than we are. Because when you develop the big head, when I develop the big head, when the culture develops the big head, when a church develops the big head, then it has become arrogant. That's why we must always move in humility and confess it as a sin when we don't. He must be included in all of life, because life is a vapor. So Paul said in Acts 18:21, he told the folks, I'm going to return to you if the Lord wills. Plan out your years. Plan out your retirement. Plan out the golden years. Plan out your travel. Plan out, but I can testify those plans can get graphically interrupted and canceled. So make your plan. Ask God to bless your plan. Because Jeremiah 29:7 says, I have a plan for you. Ask God to cover over your plan, but then pad it. And let's stay close enough to the Lord that when he shakes it and bakes it, when he calls an audible, we're close enough to know he called it.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking today about the wisdom of allowing room for God's providence in our plans and being ready for his intervention. And that begins with having a personal relationship with the Lord. Here's Tony again with a quick thought on why that's so important and how to go about doing it.
In today's fast-paced and materialistic world, the need for purpose and meaning is more significant than ever. It's the key to finding genuine satisfaction, maintaining a healthy life balance, and fostering meaningful connection with others. We can find all sorts of ways to keep us busy, but ultimately, our purpose is rooted in knowing that we're here as a part of God's greater kingdom plan. When you invite Jesus Christ into your life, you experience God's transformational power and discover direction and purpose as you uncover his divine plan for your journey. If that's what you're looking for, say this simple prayer with me, but you just must mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I come before you now, recognizing that I am a sinner in need of your grace and forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I invite Jesus into my life today, and I ask him to come in and be my Savior and Lord. I surrender my life to you and ask that you take control. Help me to follow your teachings and live according to your will. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
We encourage you to follow up on that prayer at tonyevans.org. Click the link at the top of the homepage that simply says Jesus. Dr. Evans has posted a video that explains God's plan of restoration, and you'll find some additional follow-up resources there as well. Again, that's at tonyevans.org. Now, before we go, don't forget, you can get a copy of Tony's new devotional, Transformed by the Trinity, as well as this year's special audio compilation, The Best of Tony Evans 2023. This giant collection and a book are available for a limited time as our gift when you make a year-end donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Get more details and make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org. And be sure to take time to browse through our huge collection of CDs, DVDs, books, Bible studies, kids' devotionals, and more. We can be your one-stop shop for holiday gift giving. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by to help with your request day and night. Again, 1-800-800-3222. It seems like some people can't catch a break, while others have everything handed to them. But Dr. Evans says there's nothing random about who you are and what you have. Tomorrow, he'll help us discover the part that God's providence plays in all of it. I hope you'll join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard. Oh,
Thank you.